to set up my room is just like, okay, hold on, we're starting now.
Yeah,
she can cut out that little part. I'm good to go.
Okay, yeah, let me just do the intro. Actually, I'm gonna
turn down my fan.
Just
in case it's actually loud, I'm worried.
Yeah, just let me know if you can hear anything on my end.
There's like a very slight, but I think it should be okay when you're talking. We should mute ourselves when we're not talking.
I think I'm just gonna turn off my fan, honestly.
Okay.
That might be just the best option for me. Hold on. Damn, my room is so quiet now because I have like a fan and an air purifier running at the same time. So it's makes it super loud. All right, I'm good to go.
Okay, cool. I'll just have to tell Lizzie to cut out the first minute 30. Okay. Welcome back to another episode of The Cosmic Circle, the official podcast of The Cosmic Circus, where we discuss all things nerdy. Today we're talking about Season 2 of The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power, Amazon Prime Video's flagship streaming series. My name is Uday Kataria, I'm one of the writers at The Cosmic Circus, and joining me today is my fellow writer, Drew Reed.
Hey guys, I'm Drew, and happy to be here to talk about some Lord of the Rings.
Unfortunately, not a lot of people watch Rings of Power, it seems like, so we've only got the two of us on this podcast.
Yeah.
But that kind of gives us a good starting point. Season 1 was pretty controversial amongst Tolkien fans. What do you think of Season 2 compared to Season 1?
I mean, Season 1, there's just more material to work with. Like, you know, you have obviously like the Annatar Celebrimbor story, which is like almost, I would say, like almost the most crucial story in the Second Age, considering, you know, it's they forge a majority of the Rings of Power together. And it's just like a total turning point in the Second Age. I mean, besides like the Last Alliance, let's say that's pretty much, you know, Annatar Celebrimbor and Numenor, and then the Last Alliance are probably like the biggest storylines in the Second Age. So it was like much, much better and felt like more in depth, mainly because they had more material to work with. I mean, just from reading like the Silmarillion and the Lord of the Rings appendices, there isn't like a ton of material in the Second Age. So you really like, you kind of have to, I don't know, just I wouldn't say like make up your own story, but kind of just like expand upon the ideas in your own way. And that can be controversial to a lot of fans, I guess, or, you know, just most people.
I agree. I mean, I don't think it's bad to say that you need to make up your own story, because you definitely do. I have not read the full Silmarillion, but I did just read The Fall of Numenor, which was published in 2022. And there's just barely any content about the Second Age. You do need to really fill in the gaps. Tolkien didn't tell a story of the Second Age. I think that it's in the Silmarillion, like the last like couple of pages are like cover the events that happen in Lord of the Rings. So if you view a few pages in the Silmarillion as being like 1,000 pages of a novel, there's just nothing for them to make a TV show based off of. So I'm fine with them changing the lore and taking some liberties. I do have a hot take, and that is that I think Season 2 was a huge step down from Season 1. I really, really enjoyed Season 1 way more than I ever thought I would, because the marketing was really not impressing me. But I thought that all of the characters were like equally interesting and their storylines were super well balanced. And I just thought Season 2 did an awful job with that. I think Annatar and Celebrimbor were obviously the main relationship, but I feel like everyone around the elves just kind of flailed around and didn't really do anything of importance.
So, yeah, I mean, like Season 2 definitely isn't perfect. I thought it was, it's hard to say like if it's better. I think it just was more appealing to a broader audience, Season 2. It kind of had more style.
Yeah, to totally. It.
Season 1 was very like, I don't know how to explain it. They really were doing their own thing in season one. It wasn't, didn't really feel anything, super Lord of the Ringsy until you got to the end, kind of. But like the story with the
Yeah,
Harfoots
that's fair.
and even Numenor kind of felt like a departure from like what we've known in previous like source material and movies and stuff. So I think now that everything is established and they've kind of got a better grasp on how to visually, just like style, like aesthetically, stylistically, visually, appeal to a broader audience of like what people think like the world of Tolkien looks like, I'd say. And that's probably why season two like was better received. Season one, yeah, like the season one, the story was like a little bit tighter, I'd say. Like the writing was a little bit tighter. The season kind of, it was all over the place, really. I thought the writing between Anatar and Celebrimbor was really good for the most part, and for the short amount of time we got in Numenor, I thought that was pretty good. I'm trying to think of what else. I really loved. I mean, I'm sure we'll talk about like episodes coming up, but I really loved episode one. I thought episode one had the best writing of pretty much any episode of the show, I think. But yeah, I can definitely see how season one, how some people could like season one more. I can see that, even though like a lot of people would disagree with that. I can see how, just me personally, I liked season two more.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I think most people like season two more. It's just crazy to me because I thought season one was so well paced because I was never bored in season one. I know so many people called season one boring. I was never bored. And another hot take, I kind of hate hobbits. I don't find hobbits interesting whatsoever. So I was not looking forward to the Harfoots in Rings of Power in general, but I really liked them. I like the Harfoots in Rings of Power way more than hobbits. I mean, Bilbo's okay, but. Yeah, I know Frodo is the quintessential hero, but I'll tell you guys right now, I do not like Frodo. I am a Tolkien fan, I am a Lord of the Rings fan, but I don't love the movies, and I also don't love Frodo. I'm way more interested in the elves and the Second Age stories. So that's where I'm coming from. And I just thought that season two was, it was like really weirdly rushed. It's like the show would like run and then like slow to a crawl and then like run again. And it felt like there were a lot of like connecting scenes like missing between certain things, like in the finale, like when Arondir gets stabbed like three times by Adar and then he's just fine and like fighting people. It's like I feel like they must have filmed a connection scene that showed him being okay, but they cut it out. And I thought season one, eight episodes, having like hour plus episodes, I thought it was perfect. But with season two, I did feel like, oh, this needs to be 10 episodes at least, like 10 to 13, to be able to breathe. Because this series has 18 main characters and it's got the same number of supporting characters. And so it's really, really hard to tell one central story like with Annotar and Celebrimbor and still make everyone else matter. And that's where I think they failed this season.
I'm like half and half on that. I think like obviously they had to put the most focus on the Annotar and Celebrimbor story in Eregion because that's kind of where like everything kind of converged at the end. I liked I don't know, like I think I liked at some parts I liked the Galadriel and Elrond story in the beginning of the season. I thought that their beef kind of lasted a little too long for my liking. It was got a little like they kind of ran that one out a little bit. But I mean, obviously the people really don't like how the Numenor story played out this season. It was kind of rushed. I do agree with that. I mean, the pacing was really, really, really fast with the Numenor story, and there really wasn't a ton of substance. I mean, they killed off that, I think his name is Valandiel in like episode five. And that just felt kind of random. It was just like there wasn't really any substance behind that guy. Like, it's like
I'm
why even have him as a character if you're just gonna kill him like that? Like, it just
okay,
kind
listen,
of felt pointless.
I was so sad when he died, and I've never hated a fictional character more than I hated Kevin in that moment. So like they
Yeah,
must have done
agree
something
with that.
right. But I agree, like I was really let down by the fact that like Eärien should have been like really upset that Kevin killed Valandiel, who's like the last tie to her, what she
Yeah.
thinks is her dead brother. And so again, it's stuff like that. Like, I know from the rumors that apparently a ton of Numenor storyline was cut out of this season, but I truly feel like season two just feels so much choppier and like poorly paced and poorly edited compared to season one. I liked the second half of season two a lot. Like, I really liked episodes five, six, and seven. I thought half of the finale, like all the elf stuff, I thought was good, and everything else, I just wanted them to get off my screen. Oh, and the dwarf stuff. The dwarf stuff was good too.
Yeah, the
But
dwarf stuff was really good, yeah.
but it really took me until episode five to like finally feel like, oh, season two is good. And that was really disappointing because I was so excited for the season, and it didn't hook me until episode five of like eight episodes.
Yeah, so I think episode four kind of hit like a weird spot in the season where it just kind of like brought everything to a grinding halt when it was going really, really fast. And I think that really messed with some people. I mean, I know for me, like I've spent a lot of time talking in like a couple of group chats, like, you know, large like Lord of the Rings group chats, and people really did not like see like episode four. I mean, people really said that was like the worst episode of the series, and I don't necessarily agree with that, but I can definitely see how it was kind of boring. I mean, the stuff with the Barrow-wights was kind of disappointing, and I didn't really feel like they made any progress on Galadriel and Elrond's story. There was no Annatar and Celebrimbor in that episode.
And that's unforgivable when they're the main relationship of the season to go an entire episode without even featuring them. That it really ticked me off. But yeah, I do think the strongest thing in episode four was Galadriel and Elrond. I do think the characters this season are just extremely strong because they have the depth of those relationships from season one. And like Galadriel, I really like what she was going through this season, how Gil-galad was mad at her but still trusted her, how Elrond kind of hated her, how she had the whole thing with Sauron, how she felt so guilty with Celebrimbor.
Yeah, I mean,
I feel like she was sidelined a little bit because I also feel like she didn't really have anything to do, but I appreciate where they went with her emotions at least.
yeah, it's tough because it's like, you know, Galadriel definitely was sidelined a bit, like definitely towards the middle of the season. I would even say towards the end of the season too. I mean, I don't think she really did anything in episode five. I mean, she was captured at the end of episode four, and then she had one scene in episode five, and then like a couple quick scenes in episode six and seven. She wasn't really around that much. And I mean, I guess that's just how the writing went. When you have so many characters that it's just hard to put like everybody on screen at once, you know, especially when you have so many like running storylines together. I mean, Game of Thrones was that way too. I mean, this show, you know, from the beginning was pretty much trying to like mirror Game of Thrones in a way of how they're doing like seven or eight storylines at one time that all are all running in different areas of the world. So yeah, I mean, Galadriel, I'm sure she'll be more involved next season, but yeah, she definitely got like, I really loved her story in like episode one, and like I really, really enjoyed the whole like arc behind the rings and the conflict of the rings and how people disagreed about the rings and stuff like that, and eventually how, you know, how everybody got their ring and stuff like that. And I thought that was probably the like episode one I really, really liked. I thought it had the strongest writing. I thought Círdan was a really great character, like a really, really great addition to the series. And it's a bummer that he was only in two episodes. He really like was a huge standout in episode one. Even Gil-galad, I mean, like Ben Walker did like a really good job in every scene he was in as Gil-galad, even though or Gil-galad. Even though like he didn't really have a ton of screen time, he's great in every like scene he's in.
Yeah, I totally agree. You're right. Like with so many characters, they do need to like thread them gently, and some are going to take center stage and some are going to be background. So like I didn't love that Galadriel was sidelined, but it made sense because it wasn't about her and Sauron in the middle of this season. It was about Sauron and Celebrimbor, and it's fine. We still have Galadriel in the show. She's still going somewhere emotionally. So it's okay that she just had a couple quick scenes in like episode five and six and stuff like that. I really like what they did with her and the orcs, actually. Her being captured by Adar and having to see at the end of the season that orcs are also like a living group in Middle Earth that have emotions and they're not just like evil death machines. I know that was also controversial, like with the orc baby and everything, but that's straight out of Tolkien's work. The man died never
It
figuring
is.
out, like, you know, everyone wants to say, like, oh, this goes against the lore, that goes against the lore, but Tolkien was constantly rewriting and changing things up until he died. He could never figure out like if orcs were inherently evil or if there was some kind of morality to them.
Yeah, I
And
mean,
also, I really feel like
yeah,
people
no, you're
miss
good.
the point of Tolkien's work is that he was creating a mythology, and his whole thing is that he, like, even like the narrative framing of Middle Earth is like, he met, isn't it that like he met Samwise and he got the red book from Frodo and he's the translator of all of this history that's bringing it into the modern world? Like, Tolkien's work isn't just a novel. He was trying to create like a mythology that seemed like it had been edited by multiple people and handed down throughout generations. And so I feel like when people are so precious about adaptations of his work, it's directly going against what the man himself intended. And I liked that they referenced that, like with Morgoth's crown, because in the Silmarillion, Morgoth's crown was melted down and turned into the chain that holds him. And they can't say that because they don't have the rights to the Silmarillion. That's another thing. When I get pissed off at the lore they aren't following, I have to remind myself they legally can't follow some of it. And I appreciate that they're taking the swing, that they're adapting something they legally are not allowed to, and that they're gonna make it their own but hit the big moments. But back to the crown thing really quick. Like, I like that they said, oh, there are many stories about what happened to the crown, but Adar has it, because to me, that fits with Tolkien, that maybe the elves would say, like, oh yeah, we chained Morgoth up with his crown. They aren't going to say, oh yeah, we lost it. Sauron must have it.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what happened? I mean, all for all we know, that it was beaten into like a collar by the Valar, but they can't use that because that's from the Silmarillion, and it's just insane how they don't have the rights to the Silmarillion for this show. I mean, it's just crazy how they're not able to use it, but such a bummer because there's just so much material that can be pulled to make this show like more evolved, I'd say. But the orcs, I don't have any issue with like the family. Peter Jackson did like so much damage to the image of like what the orcs are. You know, like it was a movie that I love Lord of the Rings. I mean, it's my favorite trilogy. It's my favorite movies of all time. I mean, nothing beats it for me. That's my favorite movies of all time. You know, he it was mainly like a very black and white movie. The trilogy, very black and white in terms of like good versus evil, and just, you know, they really only touched on the nuances of good, and you know, just like the disagreements of humans and stuff like that. And the image of orcs mainly were just like a character, like a plot device, you know, for kind of telling different beats of the story. Where in this show, I mean, you're getting more involved with Adar, and you're seeing how the orcs live from day to day. And nowhere in Tolkien's writing does it say like, oh, the orcs, how do people think orcs were like, how do people think they had these crazy legions of orcs? Do they think they just like popped out of like the ground? Like, I don't know,
Well,
you know?
because don't they do that in the movies in Two
Well, yeah,
Towers?
they do that in the movies, which is just weird. Like, it just didn't make any sense to me why they did that in the movies, especially after reading the books. I mean, the orcs are not like, they're elves that were like tortured and like turned into these creatures, you know, like they weren't born as orcs, you know what I'm saying? So they don't just pop out of the ground. Morgoth can't, like, they make it such a huge point in the Silmarillion that Morgoth can't have his own creation. Like, he's incapable of making his own creation. He can
Yeah, he
only
can.
like torture these elves and like defile them, you know, like.
Yeah, he can only ruin what Eru created, but he himself can't create anything. And so that's the stuff that I like the show is going into. I fully agree with you that this show would be operating on another level if they could adapt everything from the Silmarillion. But I know that they're paying for certain rights, like a la carte, basically, because I don't think Annotar, the name, is in the appendices. But so clearly the estate is willing to work with them on certain things, like the references to the First Age this season. I really appreciated because they just deepen that lore for people who know what they're referencing. It's a cool reference. And for people who don't know what they're referencing, it's just doing that Tolkien style of it's deepening the world. Even if you don't know what they're talking about, like the characters know what the other character is referencing. And so it adds a sense of depth to the world. And honestly, to all of like the haters, because like I was hating a little bit on this season in the first four episodes, I was getting really frustrated on Reddit, and someone replied to me, and they were like, after episode four, because I was like, how is there no Annotar? And they're like, I agree, but coming from someone who never even dreamed we would see Annotar in like a live action or any kind of adaptation, they were like, I can't bring myself to be angry when he's here and he's perfect. The fact that he wasn't in one of the eight episodes, and I'm like, you know what? That's fair, because let's remember that every studio was bidding on the rights to remake the Lord of the Rings movies for TV. And J.D. Payne and Patrick McKay are the only ones who had an idea to do something original with it and do a story that we haven't seen before instead of just remaking the movies. So I try to keep that in mind because at the end of the day, like warts and all, I would rather have a rushed second season of Rings of Power that adapts the Forging of the Rings than seeing the Fellowship of the Ring for the second time.
I think it would have been, it definitely like would have helped if they were able to stretch out the storyline a little bit, especially with the rings, you know, giving time for the elven rings, giving time for the dwarven rings, and giving time for the rings of men. And I think that they do for the most part. I mean, they do a pretty good job of differentiating like when they're focusing on which specific rings and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, like I was saying, I do think that it's hard for shows to do more than 8 episodes now. I mean, you see how long it took this show to make just 8 episodes. You see how long it takes House of the Dragon to make eight episodes. It's, you know, this is such a huge production that it just takes so long. I mean, it's going to take another 2 years probably for season 3. And like you were mentioning with like Annatar, yeah, I mean, like it's crazy. I would never want to see Lord of the Rings remade. I mean, like I said, you know, the original trilogy is my favorite. Literally, it's my favorite movies of all time. I don't need them to remake them. I'm already bummed that they're remaking Harry Potter. It's like, no, we don't need that. The Harry Potter movies are like,
You,
you
yeah,
can't, yeah,
don't
you
even
can't touch
get started
those.
on
You
like
know,
the
like,
Harry Potter shit. Like, there's so much else you could do in that universe before remaking it.
exactly.
Yeah, and I agree with you because I mean, even the Hunt for Gollum movie, I'm not looking forward to that really. Because maybe just because I have no idea what the plot could be. But also, like, I am a Lord of the Rings fan. But so I last read the books in like 7th or 8th grade, so I don't really remember them like super well, but I remember liking them. And I'm not a huge fan of the movies, which I've only seen once, and I don't know why that was. I feel like I just didn't really connect with them because I feel like I'm more interested in the more fantastical aspects of Lord of the Rings. So like I'm really interested in Sauron and the Valar and Numenor and like dragons and everything. I will say, again, hot take, very hot take. I liked the Hobbit movies better than the Lord of the Rings movies because those are the ones that were coming out that I saw when I was a kid, and it's got a dragon, and I'm sorry, but you can't beat the freaking dragon.
I mean, I definitely did not like the Hobbit movies more than Lord of the Rings, but I'm
No,
always
no,
like,
no.
I always tell people, I'm like, listen, opinions are just opinions. Like,
I want to be clear. I
unless
do not
you're,
think they are better movies. I think very much, I agree that they are much worse movies. But I'm saying I would rather rewatch The Desolation of Smaug on any given day than any Lord of the Rings movie. And so
No.
I know that that's controversial, but I like this fantastical stuff. Like to me, honestly, I would probably love a First Age adaptation even
I would
more.
too.
Like if the Silmarillion is ever turned into like a 10 season TV show where every season is just like one like chunk of time from the book,
Would have to be.
I would lose my mind because like I would love to see the War of Wrath. I would love to see Morgoth with dragons and Sauron and
Yeah, I
his side
mean,
being a werewolf and all that stuff.
it's so funny. The War of Wrath isn't even like, you know, the end of the War of Wrath, it wasn't really that enticing for me just because everybody's dead. You know, like, God, there's so many characters. Like, I love the like the I don't know, gosh, I just read the Silmarillion recently, and I'm having such a hard time remembering certain aspects. All I know is that at the end of the War of Wrath, it's really just the Valar and like the armies of elves and men versus like Morgoth and his armies, and then Erendil comes down as like a star from in like a pirate ship or something like that, and fights a dragon. I don't even. It's so like crazy to even like
See,
say that out loud.
that just sounds epic. And again, I just feel like the character dynamics there, like we never thought we would see Sauron represented so well as like an actual character instead of just this disembodied presence. And so to me, like the idea that we could one day get that for Morgoth is also amazing. But
That's
let's
such a hard like I just want to talk about that real quick. Is my whole life growing up as a kid, you know, you never saw Sauron in the flesh. You never picture him as a human. You never picture him as like a person with flesh and like anything like that. You know, like you just see him as an eye, as like a spirit almost, and like a big, like a just a giant dude in like a silver. I don't even know how to explain his armor. You know, like so just to see him like as a person and interact in like a world as a person is crazy. And like Charlie Vickers is like. He's really the perfect adaptation of Sauron. Like, I really love his adaptation of Sauron.
Exactly.
It's
And that's what
great.
I was going to say. I was going to say, let's refocus back onto the season a little bit and let's talk about Sauron because I think he was everyone's favorite character. And I agree. Charlie Vickers, I still can't believe that's the same actor. I've seen the whole season. I know it's the same actor as Hallbrand, but it's just so crazy to me that like he did that. And people are posting like GIFs on Twitter, and it's like, and they're like, how did he make his eyes look so dead? They're like, is that an acting skill, or did they like they give him special contacts to make him look dead inside? And I'm like, no, I think, I mean, he probably is wearing like colored contacts.
Yeah, he is wearing contacts, too.
But I'm like, no, I think that the look is coming from him. And like his little smiles when he was fighting Galadriel, because he was pretty grumpy in Eregion. He didn't smile much. But like, yeah, like those cold little smiles that he was giving Galadriel, like during their fight while he was stabbing her when she was about to give him the ring. That man, I wish the show was getting more attention, because that man needs an Emmy. Like,
yeah, he's going crazy. He's
so perfect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Him and, you know, Charles Edwards, I think it's really great. I mean,
oh yeah,
gosh, I loved like the transformation, and that's such a huge like tip of the cap to like the makeup and like costume department, everything, and just like how they're able to transform him into just a completely different person. You know, like, you know, when you first see him in the trailer, I remember reading a lot of comments that were like, wow, I didn't even know it was the same actor as Hallbrand, because he looks just like night and day difference, and like such a night and day difference. And yeah, I mean, it just really was like the transformation from Hallbrand to like Annatar is such like a night and day difference. And like, I really like his Annatar form more. And I think like he's able to kind of be Sauron as Annatar more than he was as Hallbrand, if that makes sense.
Oh, totally.
Like, when I'm watching season one, like I have such a hard time like watching and being like, yeah, that's Sauron. Like, I think for a lot of the time, I think he's really Hallbrand. Like, he's not really being Sauron. He's actually being Hallbrand for a lot of season.
Yeah, and I also think that part of it is because like what the showrunners have said, in that like maybe he actually did want to do good in season one. Like, he was willing to live that life. Like, he didn't really want to, but I think that he was being drawn to it, you know? And like if Galadriel had said yes to him, would he really have gone and tortured Celebrimbor and made a bunch of rings? Like, no, I don't think so. I don't think they would have settled down and married Bliss, but no, you know, I don't, but I think that there is truth in what he was saying to Galadriel at the end of season one, that she would bind him to the light.
Probably.
It's more likely that he corrupts her, but I don't think that, I think that there was like a kernel of truth to what he was saying. But I agree. I rewatched season one before season two, and I knew it was Sauron this time, but it didn't connect as strongly as Annatar. And obviously part of that is because they're no longer trying to trick the audience, and now they're letting the audience know that he's Sauron.
Yeah.
But
that's such a hard like distinction to make. You know, like when you're watching season one, you really believe he's Hallbrand, because Charlie Vickers really is playing him as Hallbrand. He's not really playing him as Sauron. Season two, he's really playing him as Sauron, and he's deceiving Celebrimbor while the audience knows he's doing that. So there's almost like a bit of a disconnect there, where in season two, it's hard to really sell it in the dialogue because you know what's happening. So as an audience member, you're watching that and you're like, oh, I see what he's doing there. So it's really hard to like sell what he's doing. So there was such a huge shift in the dialogue for him, specifically because we know he's Sauron, and he's like out in the open being like, he's being deceitful. Whereas in season one, it's more so he's fooling the audience more than any character in the show. You really believe he's Hallbrand, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I will say the one thing I didn't like about the Annatar Celebrimbor storyline is that I really hated how everyone else was suspicious of Annatar. Because I like in the middle of the season, I just felt like Celebrimbor was an idiot. Because it's like Durin doesn't trust him. Disa doesn't trust him. We know he's Sauron. And so I feel like it just makes Celebrimbor look bad. Like, I really didn't like how suspicious Durin was of Annatar. That was like the one thing I didn't like about the dwarves this season, is that the whole point, and again, going back to the lore, the whole point is that Sauron deceived everyone. And they're already changing that by having Galadriel and Elrond and Gil-galad being aware of him. But to me, it's more insulting that like even like the guests in your house, the dwarves, can see that this guy is like super messed up. And I do think like they bypassed that a little bit, because Celebrimbor was like, a part of me knew it was not like, you know, a gift from the Valar. But he wanted like the power that Sauron promised, and that's fine. But I wish that Durin hadn't been so distrustful of him from the beginning. I really wish that like he actually tricked them.
I think it just really played into the Dwarven story. Like, it was kind of crucial that Durin didn't trust Anatar, and that was just kind of how, I guess that was probably decided really early on, and that's just really played a lot into the dwarven story. But so going back to like the Silmarillion, I know like I'm gonna keep touching on that, but in season, I believe in the Silmarillion, they do say that Anatar did go to Lindon and Gil-galad rejected him, or Gil-galad rejected him. So I guess in a way they didn't directly adapt that, but in a way they've kind of acknowledged that the like Noldor, like elves of Lindon, have rejected Sauron in a way,
Yeah,
whereas
and
he went to Eregion and wasn't rejected there, and that's why the rings were forged.
yeah, and I mean they got the core stuff because it is correct that yeah, he went to Lindon in the Silmarillion and Gil-galad didn't know he was Sauron, but he was like, "You seem weird, you can't come into my
Yeah, he
house."
was like, no.
Yeah, and then he did the same thing to Galadriel in Eregion because Galadriel was living in Eregion at that time. And she said no. And so then he went to the elven smiths in Eregion and they were like, "Hell yeah, let's make some jewelry."
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and then if and I know that like eventually like because of his help like the elven smiths became the dominant like class in Eregion and then they forced Galadriel out and she went to found Lothlórien and there's all that. And I mean, and there's something to be said about time compression there because
They just
I
don't have the
am
rights to that. Yeah, they just don't have any way of
yeah, they don't
adapting
have the
that.
rights to that. That's fine. You still have the basic stuff. Galadriel knows that he can't be trusted. Gil-galad knows that he can't be trusted. It is a little bit I don't even think it's dumb that they couldn't let Celebrimbor know because obviously Sauron was killing the messengers. But I did think that that was a little bit silly in the first episode that everyone except Celebrimbor now knows that he's Sauron.
Yeah,
And it's
because
just it's a necessary beast because you're changing the lore. And again, some stuff works better on the page than it does on screen. And like I said, we can talk about time compression and everything because I do think there's a case to be made that everything is too rushed. I'm not saying it should have taken 600 years to make the Rings of Power, but I am saying that it could have taken them 1 year instead of like 2 weeks.
well, the second age
And
does last a long time, so it lasts a lot longer than it's lasting in the show, so.
yeah, and I don't want the hundreds of years and everything. You can't do that on TV. It would be interesting to have a different cast of humans like every season, but then it would make it impossible to get attached to any of them. But I'm just looking for things to take like a few weeks longer because as it stands, it kind of feels like everything is happening in just like a couple afternoons. I didn't feel this much in season one. Like season one still felt quick. Like the travel times felt very quick in season one. And they also felt quick in season two. But my bigger problem with season two is just that because the writers like kind of wrote themselves into a corner by having everyone except Celebrimbor know that he's Sauron. And they made what I think is the stupid decision at the beginning of the season for Sauron to give himself a ticking clock by sending Adar to attack Eregion. I feel like the Eregion storyline, while it was great, it didn't have room to breathe because the writers gave us two needless ticking clocks.
It's just so that there was really no way for Sauron to have an army to lay siege to Eregion, and they kind of like tied themselves into, they backed themselves into a corner with that. They kind of had to have a way. They had to make it so that Sauron or Adar and the orcs attacked Eregion some way. It's
I
like.
feel like it would have been better if Galadriel had been captured by the orcs somewhere else, and then when she went, and then when she met with Adar, he decided to attack Eregion. I didn't like that he went from Eregion to Mordor, told Adar to go attack Eregion, and then went to Eregion where he needed these people to make his rings. Like, why would
Yeah.
you do that to yourself? And
I
I
think
get that he was trying to
time
take out
probably
both of his
passed.
enemies, but it's just I didn't love the way that certain things went down, and I get that it's because they're changing the lore, but I just think that like even if it's not happening the way it does in the Silmarillion, there's a way to make it happen in a more logical sense for the show because
Yeah.
yeah, it just the
Yeah, it's
things I
hard.
feel like things didn't have time to breathe in season two. They didn't have time to marinate, you know? So like the collapse of Annotaur and Celebrimbor's relationship was excellent. Everything about it was excellent. Like episode seven was amazing.
Yeah.
Celebrimbor's death was perfect, but it's the middle that like I wish had been better. And it's fine to I would rather you end strongly than end badly, but I hope that they kind of figure these things out for season three and balance them a bit better.
Yeah, so if we're talking about like issues that we have with the season. I mean, for me, I had a lot of issues with episode 7 and 8, honestly. I think with the structure, I mean, it's awesome to have like a huge battle like that. It's kind of like imperative that you have something like that in this show, because that's really what everybody wants in a way, you know. But I didn't like in episode 7 the how they went about the charge of Elrond and the elves. How that charge, like how they kind of halted that for Galadriel and used Galadriel kind of as like a plot device there to not like where they don't give you that awesome moment like that. I really didn't like that. And a lot of people I talked to also didn't like that. Some people were okay with it, but a lot of people were like, why write that in there if you're not going to give us that moment? It's just like, it almost doesn't feel fair. It's like something that it's just, it feels like an unwritten rule of something that you don't do. You don't give somebody like a, you don't serve somebody a huge meal and then pull it away as soon as they're about to start eating it. You know, like that was such a, that for me really, when, I mean, like I watched the whole season like a week before it released, but before the first episode released. And I remember watching that moment and I was just like, oh man, they're not going to do this, are they? And that just was such a bummer for me. And it really kind of pulled the rug out from under the like the pacing of the episode for about 10 minutes, where you go from this crazy scene to a like 5 minute dialogue scene, which ends in a kiss between Galadriel and Elrond, which is just crazy. I mean,
Okay, yeah, don't get me started on the kiss. I have to be honest, the charge didn't really bother me. Like, it didn't register in my mind as something that was like offensive until after I watched the episode and went on Reddit. And then I was like, oh, yeah, I guess they did like tease me and not deliver. So
it's just
I.
like it just feels like something you don't do, especially after giving you such like in the
Yeah,
Lord of the
that's.
Rings movies, like those are like the iconic scenes. Like you would have such an iconic scene there, and you give us this whole like crazy score and just like the cinematic like overview of everything, and then you pull that out from under you to do a dialogue scene, and then you continue to then you actually start the battle without any kind of epic like commencement
So
of it.
that's where I have an issue, because I was confused when Elrond like left the tent and then they're all just fighting in the woods or whatever. It's okay to me. It was okay to stop like the big charge in its tracks, but then I was like, why isn't there another big charge after that? Like, why isn't
Yeah,
there a
I
charge
don't
to
know
the
how they're
downfall?
gonna do it. Like, you can't just be like, okay, we're gonna go line up again. You know, like, I guess that's just how they had to go about it, but.
Yeah, so I will agree with that. And then also character wise, Galadriel said, don't let her life stand in the way of defeating Sauron, and Elrond stopped an entire army for her. And I get that it's like a trope and everything, and that you can't let your main characters die. But like, I'm getting really tired of people putting one character's life above everything else. I love Galadriel, of course, but I'm just
Yeah.
like, is Sauron gaining dominion over all of Middle Earth more important than you stopping this battle to talk to Adar about Galadriel? No. Like, charge. If she dies, I'm sorry, that sucks, but.
Yeah, to be honest, that's kind of a really popular trope in almost every
It
franchise.
is. It is a popular trope in everything. Like, the
Yeah.
main character's life is always worth more than everything else in the universe combined. But
Yeah.
I feel like in that moment, I was just like, you literally agreed with her that, like, you would kill her. And I'm like, I'm not saying she has to die. I'm just saying, can you, like, deliver on your promise? Like, don't
Yeah.
stop the charge for her.
I think
Keep
a
the charge
prime
going and then talk to Adar.
Yeah, I think a prime example of that is Infinity War when Vision's
Yeah,
like,
yep.
we don't trade lives, Captain. You know, like just that kind of thing, you know, where
Oh yeah,
you
and well, and I like to think about Multiverse of Madness because Wong loves to have everyone else die to save America Chavez, and then when the chips are on the table, he's like, "Yeah, let's just kill her." So I'm like, "Okay, you
Yeah,
just
it's just
needlessly
I don't
killed
know.
hundreds of
There's a
people."
lot of like there's a lot of that in pop culture, like movies and stuff like that. But yeah, that was my main problem. My main issue with episode 8 was just some of the dialogue between Galadriel and Sauron during their confrontation. I thought was
What?
written was a little was written a little cheap.
No.
That was some of my issues. It just didn't work for me. I don't feel like man, I don't even know like if I the dialogue during the Galadriel Sauron confrontation, for the most part, it's fine. I'd say like 80% of it's fine. But then you have these moments where you get like these epic mic drop, like Galadriel will deliver like these epic mic drop moments, like
No,
dialogue
wait,
moments.
you're telling me that you didn't like Galadriel telling Sauron to go to therapy?
No, I mean, look, like that's
Because
a
I love
that's a
that. Like,
hilarious, like funny meme moment, but it really takes me out of the scene when I'm watching it.
see,
Like
it
when
didn't.
she's like, heal yourself. I'm like, I can't take that seriously. Like, I can't watch that and take that seriously. Like, it just doesn't. It feels like a
Okay.
something out of a Mission Impossible movie. Like, I don't know how
That
to.
that's totally fair. I will give you, it's totally like a TV moment. It is a TV mic drop moment, but I loved it because he's so delusional that he still thinks that she's willing to like talk to him. And I mean, and to me, that is like the most mic drop moment you can get in Middle Earth. Like, you can't tell him to go F himself in Middle Earth, but you know, this was her version of saying that. I really liked that. My friend didn't like it either. She was like, what was that line? I mean, I didn't,
It just
I
didn't work
liked
for
the
me.
line. I just didn't like the, hey, let's jump 500 feet off this cliff thing. I'm like, you're no Elrond. You can't do this twice in one season.
Some of those lines just didn't work for me, and I really like Morvis Clark as Galadriel. I think she's great. I think, but there's just some of those line deliveries just didn't work for me in that, and that's okay. I mean, like it happens. It didn't
Yeah,
ruin. It doesn't like ruin the
that's
season for me. I still love the season. I give it like an 8.5 or a 9, in terms of the score. But yeah, I just have little nitpicks. I thought the dwarves were probably like the most well-written storyline this season. I would say the dwarves probably, or obviously Celebrimbor Annatar. I mean, I think everybody knows that they're a
yeah.
really well-written storyline.
Yeah, so to me, the elf storylines, so I'm lumping Eregion and Lindon in together, but I think that the elf storylines were the best. And again, coming from someone who thinks the elves are the most interesting group in Middle Earth, I really liked that. And I did really like, so I didn't love episode four, but what I really liked in episode four were the elves traveling together. And even though the Barrow-wight scene was quick, I really liked Galadriel having to be second fiddle to Elrond, and I liked the debates over the ring and everything, like you were saying, and how distrustful Elrond is of them. I do think the dwarf storyline was pretty well written. I love the dwarves as well. The dwarves are probably my second favorite group in Middle Earth. What I didn't like this season was Rune, and it's a shame because I loved the Rune storyline in the first two episodes. I thought the first two episodes were setting up something like really, really interesting with the Harfoots and the Stranger and the Dark Wizard. And then to me, it just all fell apart when Tom Bombadil showed up because I liked Tom Bombadil in the books. Like, I think he's an interesting character, but this adaptation doesn't get the point of him that he's like tasking the wizard and testing the wizard and all this stuff. Tom Bombadil doesn't give a shit whether Sauron rules Middle Earth. Like, he only cares insofar as it's going to destroy the natural world. But he doesn't give a shit about what happens to the people in it. And so
I think that
he
Tom
was way too involved
Bombadil's
in the affairs of Middle Earth for me. And using him as like a teacher character, I thought none of that worked.
So I think ultimately, like, what I got from episode 8 was that his lesson is that there is no lesson. I don't know. It did that, which it like kind of felt a little pointless, but yeah, I mean, they toned down Tom Bombadil a lot. They toned him down. I mean, he's ridiculous in the book. I mean,
Yeah, no. They made him seem like just a normal guy that's like that like likes to sing a little bit.
I mean, he's just ridiculous in the book.
It felt very off to me. I did like some scenes with him in episode four, but by the end of the season, I was very much over him. Again, talking about poor pacing, Rune was such a big part of episodes one, two, and four. And then to only have like four scenes in total across the rest of the season, it's just they need to learn that not everything needs to be wrapped up in the finale. I thought they knew this in season one. In season one, like the dwarf storyline ended in episode seven and they weren't in episode eight at all. And I don't understand why they put every character into the finale this season because I feel like the Numenor, Pelargir storylines, and the Rune storyline, it would have been way better if they just wrapped up in episode six and then episode seven and eight were just all elves and dwarves. I think that that would have been a way better balance to the end of the season.
I just don't know if there was enough substance in episode 8 to give to the elves in Eregion. I mean,
I feel like they could have stretched it out a little bit more because even because like Annatar and Celebrimbor, like Celebrimbor's death was great, but I could have used another at least one more scene of him like being tortured. Because again, it's just like Sauron shoots him full of five arrows and then kills him. I'm like, that's fine. It was a good scene. But I'm like, it doesn't even feel like he tried that hard to get the location of the rings out of him because they rushed it a bit. And then what's worse for me is Adar. Adar has been such a good character across both seasons. And I really, really liked the idea that Nenya healed him. And I liked that he had that conversation with Galadriel in episode 8, and that I liked what he was doing with the orcs, that he just wanted them to have a home and that he was going to take them back and never interfere with like the ways of Middle Earth again. And so then for him to just immediately bite it after that, like in the same scene, for him to only have one scene in the finale after building him up as a character for 2 seasons, we all knew he was going to die, but it just happened so quickly and so like anticlimactically. And it's still a poetic, fitting end for his character, but it just feels like he went out with no dignity to me. And it's not the manner of death. The manner of death is fine to me. It just feels like the show didn't give him dignity by killing him off in like a 2-minute scene instead of giving him like a grander end.
They probably could have
And
used
so,
a Sauron at our. There probably could have been more dialogue in that scene to lead up to the death.
yeah, like he doesn't even say, like, I could have. So it's stuff like that where I'm like, if you had just wrapped up the stupid rune storyline that wasn't going anywhere. And that's another thing is that the rune storyline went nowhere. I thought it was super interesting what they were setting up with the Dark Wizard. And then he has like one conversation with like freaking Gandalf. And I hate that that's Gandalf. And you have one conversation with Gandalf. And so he's just spent 5 episodes like getting a stick and saying bye to Nori. I'm really disappointed in that because even though the Harfoot storyline, I did not like it this season compared to season one, I like really care about Nori and the stranger's relationship and her setting out on a grand adventure only to like immediately give up and go home. To me, it's just a disservice to the character. So I really hated how they ended that.
So I don't think that they're going home. They're going to find the Shire. The Suzette is like a tr translates to Shire.
Yeah, I know, but I don't like. I don't want to see that. I want to see Nori continue with the stranger. If like Poppy wants to lead the rest of them to the Shire, like knock yourself out. But that also seems like a storyline that's more fit for season 5. So I'm like, are we really going to see them next season?
I don't think so. I talked to a couple of people, and honestly, I think we all came to the conclusion that I think that the Hobbits and Gandalf were probably studio mandated. I think there probably was a studio mandate behind putting the Hobbits and Gandalf and their relationship in the show. I just don't see
Yeah,
any
that would
other.
make a lot of sense.
I don't really see how that isn't the case, considering that there really isn't any kind of like prior like storyline to work with in terms of the Hobbit or the Hobbits or Gandalf. I mean, I know that people, it is a fact that like later Tolkien, like later in life, I wrote a couple of letters where he was kind of debating whether the Istari order arrived in Middle Earth in the Third Age or late in the Second Age. And he was kind of leaning more towards like they could have arrived in the Second Age. I mean, it would have been like cool and convincing if they made them the Blue Wizards. I mean, there's not really any like
That's what I
substance on
wanted.
them, but it would have been cool to them for them to be the Blue Wizards and kind of do their own thing. But I understand how more than anything, this is a prequel to Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy. This isn't even like a prequel to Lord of the Rings. This is a prequel to Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy. It's how did we get to that? And they're going to tell every story. They're aligning every story to get to that movie. It's
But
not
the
even
thing is
going to
that they're
be,
not, because they aren't in the same canon. So I'm like, I get that they're keeping the aesthetics close to his movies, but they aren't part of like the same canon. And so I'm just annoyed that like that guy's Gandalf, because yeah, he has name recognition, but the other guy's definitely a blue wizard because they said in interviews that it's highly unlikely that he's
It's highly,
Saruman.
he couldn't
And
be Saruman.
so why do we have Gandalf versus a blue wizard? Are you telling me that Gandalf had to fight two evil wizards, and when Saruman started dressing like the evil wizard from Rune, he didn't like recognize it? And so I really wish it was just two blue wizards that mirrored Gandalf and Saruman's relationship. And what's even more annoying to me is like just the fact that if he was Gandalf, you should have freaking told us in season 1. Why did you drag it out for 2 seasons?
They pretty
Because he
much
didn't
did.
do anything this season. He got a stick. That's all he got. So I really liked his storyline with the Harfoots in season 1, and I really hated it in this season. And so now I'm at the point where like I just don't care about him. Like, if he was a blue at the end of this season, at the end of this stick search, at least I would still be interested. But knowing that he's Gandalf, I just. Because if he was a blue, it's like, oh, what's going to happen to him? Is he going to go evil? Is he going to die? Is he going to succeed? But it's Gandalf. So you're just like, okay, he's going to become friends with Galadriel. And it's going to just be. I just. Yeah, I there are a few things in episode 8 that made me really worried for season 3 because I just don't agree with that's the biggest one. Like that's the only thing I feel like that these creators have done that I flat out hated is him being Gandalf and like just dragging out that storyline for no reason.
Yeah.
And it's because they didn't even know that he was going to be Gandalf. They decided that after season 1 was done. And so that also insults me.
I don't know if I believe that necessarily.
They
I don't
said it
know.
in an interview.
I know, but I still don't know if I 100% believe it.
I kind of believe it. I think that they made him similar to Gandalf so they could go that route, but if they didn't want him to be Gandalf, they could go another route. So,
Yeah, I mean, they
because,
probably left all the doors open. I
yeah,
would
I think they
wonder
left
if
all
they
the doors
probably
open in season
fought
one.
for him not to be Gandalf, and maybe it just was he had to be. It'd be
That's
like
also
trying to
true.
appeal to a broader audience, you know,
Yeah, like
trying
maybe.
to appeal to the general audiences, and they're not going to care about a Blue
Yeah,
Wizard.
maybe the studio said, hey, he needs to be Gandalf because, like,
Maybe,
people
yeah.
hate this show. Like, tie it in more to the movies.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the case that, you know, like real hardcore fans are going to be like, oh, wow, it's a Blue Wizard. Like, that's so awesome. I like really would love to see a Blue Wizard adapted, but this show does a really good job of balancing like deep lore references and like reaching to the general audience. It does a pretty decent balance of that in its writing, and I'll give them credit for that. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, I'm kind of indifferent about Gandalf. It was expected. I wasn't like shocked by it or anything. I wasn't surprised. It was like, you know, this is what it's going to be. I'm either going to have to accept it or I'm going to hate it for however many more years this show runs for. And ultimately, I'm fine. I just hope they tell some interesting stories with Gandalf, at least give us some prior
Yeah, like
perspective.
I can definitely come back around. Like, let's see what they do in season 3. I'm gonna give these guys the benefit of the doubt, because I am gonna say I hated the idea of Halbrand being Sauron, and then as soon as
Yeah.
he was revealed as Sauron, I loved it because I think that they executed it very well. I have lost a little bit of faith with them after season 2. I'm not gonna lie, because I do think that they've taken a little bit of a step backwards from season 1 in terms of like I said, like the pacing and everything. And I just hate him being Gandalf so much. That I'm just like you got I'm still gonna like let you guys like cook, but I have like a healthy dose of skepticism heading into season 3, whereas when I headed into season 2, I had nothing but trust and faith in them and excitement for what they were gonna do.
So in season 3, they kind of really only have like four storylines. You know, you've got Numenor, you've got the dwarves, you've got the elves, and then you've got Sauron, or five, I guess, and then you got Gandalf.
And
So
I
I
do want to point out that they hired an entirely new writers' room for season 3, full of writers who have experience writing like political tensions.
Yeah, dialogue. It's really probably to buff the dialogue and really just buff kind of the structure, I'd say.
So what do you think the focus of season 3 is going to be?
Probably the war of the elves and Sauron. You know, we'll probably. So I've been saying this, and gosh, this could turn into a 30-minute conversation just on this topic. But yeah, it's gonna be the war of the elves and Sauron, and ultimately, Numenor is gonna come save the day. Spoiler alert, I hope you know nobody really gets spoiled by that, but we'll give a spoiler
Yeah, I guess I should have said book spoilers are not off limits.
we'll give a spoiler warning in the article. But yeah, I think by now if you're watching this show, I think you have a pretty good idea of what's coming. Numenor is going to come save the day. They're going to capture Sauron. Sauron's going to go back to Numenor, and you're going to get kind of the same. I don't think this is going to happen in season 3. I think the downfall of Numenor is going to be season 4. Season 3 will probably be the focus of the War of the Elves and Sauron, and then
Yeah,
yeah.
so that's what I'm worried about. Because I've heard a lot of people speculate that they're going to do the downfall in season 3. And if they do,
They
I
don't
think the
have
show's
time.
cooked if they do the downfall in season 3,
You have to
because
spend a whole
that will
season.
just be too
Yeah,
much.
you have to spend a whole
So,
season on that. You have to spend a whole season like you spent with Celebrimbor, and it's our
no,
Sauron's
absolutely.
and Numenor is too important. Yeah.
So I was happy that season 2 seemed to end with, you know, like the elves rallying against Sauron. I hope you're right. I need season 3 to be the War of the Elves and Sauron. And
Yeah.
then and yeah, and have the B storyline in season 2. Like the second biggest storyline, instead of being not Gandalf walking around looking for a stick, the B storyline of season 2 needs to be Numenor and show us and spend a lot of time with the faithful. Like I'm fine if we kind of dial down Pharazôn's role,
Yeah.
but I really want to spend a lot of time with the faithful and finally meet Anarion and everything. And on that point, season three needs to introduce the rest of the characters for this show. Because I know a lot of people hoped we would get Celeborn, Galadriel's husband, in season two, and that didn't happen. And I think that they have, if they do not introduce the other characters that are important to the Second Age by season three, hopefully like by the beginning or middle of it, I think it's going to be really hard to still be introducing characters of like huge importance while Numenor is sinking.
I think so, they will probably introduce Celeborn. Although the one last thing I do want to say that I did bring up with people is that it really wouldn't shock me how the writing is going. This is going to be like a big change. It's going to be like a giant change that's going to really like upset people if this happens. It really wouldn't shock me if the way the writing is going is that somehow Galadriel ends up in Numenor
during the downfall.
Yeah.
No.
It would not surprise me if that happens someday.
No, I would hate that so much. Please, yeah, no.
I think a lot of people really would hate that, but it really feels like somehow Galadriel gets tied to every major event of every season, and I really would not surprise me if somehow she gets
I want her to be tied to like Elendil, like she's friends with him, whatever. I want her to like receive him on the shores of Middle Earth. But if she's in Numenor and like fleeing the downfall with Elendil, you're right. Like I would hate
it. It wouldn't surprise me if she like helps them flee. Like it wouldn't, so that would not shock me at all.
I don't want that. Oh my god, why'd you even put that thought in my head?
I know, and so, I put that thought in so many people's head. Like I'm already picturing like a final confrontation between Galadriel and Sauron and Numenor, and like
listen, I'll take as many confrontations as I can get between the two of them, because I didn't think they would come face to face in season two until the trailer, and I really liked their fight. But I don't want her in Numenor. And I will say, I know we have to wrap up in a minute. I think we're definitely getting Anarion in season three, because Elendil went to go see him at the end of season two. Mm-hmm. On the topic of theories, I've seen people think that Celeborn is actually dead, and that the Valar are going to re-embody him and send him back to Middle-earth instead of Glorfindel.
I was going
to
say, isn't that just Glorfindel's story?
I would be fine with that. Like, if they merge Glorfindel and Celeborn into one character, like, if Galadriel's husband comes back as an emissary of the Valar, I'm fine with that. But I would prefer that they just keep them separate. But also, it's like, where the heck has Celeborn been hiding for a whole age, if he's not actually dead?
Yeah, gosh, that's such a, like... That's going to be something they're really going to have to explain, because they just can't.
So I would totally be fine. It's an adaptation. I'm fine with them giving the re-embodiment storyline to Celeborn and merging his character with Glorfindel a little bit. It's an adaptation. It's going to rub me like maybe the wrong way a little bit, but I'd be fine with it. But yeah, so let's hope that season three is about the War of Elves and Sauron, with some Numenor civil war on the side. And then, setting up the downfall for season four. And I really hope that Sauron next season looks more like Annatar than Halbrand. Because Halbrand was fine looking, but Annatar, like, that man could do unspeakable things to me. I would also I would have also forged him 19 rings. So like I want them to keep that look.
Yeah. I think they will probably. It wouldn't shock me.
Or something in between, you know, like.
But yeah, I think he has to maintain the look of an elf. It just makes sense.
Yeah, and we'll see where it goes. But I am excited. They can make two new Sauron disguises. We can get a new Sauron every season. I think he'll probably be Annatar looking in season three, but then like in season four when he goes to Numenor, they can invent something completely new with like a new name for him, even if they want. I would love it.
I think it just might be that he just probably looks like Halbrand again, honestly.
I don't want him to look like Halbrand again. Please, like, find it in between. So we are running out of time. We'd love to continue the conversation with you guys, so please check us out at thecosmiccircus.com or on Twitter and other social media at @mycosmiccircus. And, of course, our Cosmic Circus podcast Twitter at Cosmic Podcasts. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Cosmic Circle. Again, my name is Uday. You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube at GoldenNinja3000. And Drew, where can people find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter. It's DrewReed1099 on Twitter. And I'm always there.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great day.